Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Food & Inns Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Milan Dalal, Managing Director from Food & Inns Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Greetings to my fellow shareholders, analysts, well-wishers, and prospective shareholders. As the Managing Director, I would like to start the call by wishing you all a happy belated Diwali and wishing you all a super successful Samvat year 2080. While most of you are aware of the business of Food & Inns, at the cost of reputation, I would just like to highlight the verticals. We are primarily into food processing, spray-drying, powders, frozen food. We have a spice division under the brand name Kusum, Tetra Recart, our new initiative, and last but not the least, Petkim. The significant event since the last call has been that our company participated in the international trade fair in Germany called Anuga, and that we have come across multiple opportunities in various products and segments of our company. We also participated at the World Food India Exhibition inaugurated by the Honorable Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi Ji. This exhibition was organized by the Ministry of Food Processing Industry and that the Minister Shri Honorable Shri Pashupati Kumar Karas had participated, as also the participation of Honorable Commerce Minister Shri Piyush Goyal. The exhibition envisaged a lot of interest for the Tetra Recart products, spray-dried powders, and Petkim in particular, among other verticals of our company. My team, led by Molloy Shah, our CEO, and Mr. Anand Krishnan, our CFO, are on the call and will elaborate further. We are ready to take on all good sorry. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anand Krishnan, the CFO at Food & Inns Limited. Thank you for joining us, and I extend a very warm welcome to all the participants of our Q2 FY24 investor conference call. We wish you all a very happy Diwali, a belated one though, and an abundance of happiness in the year ahead. I have here with me our MD, Mr. Milan Dalal, and our CEO, Mr. Molloy Shah. Quarter two has been a muted one for us, but what one needs to understand well is that the business model is such that there is a committed volume that will be taken up by the clients anytime over a period of 15-16 months. There is no strict monthly or quarterly commitments that run through the contracts. The commitment gets honored anytime during the 15-month period. Having said the same, the customers also pay us an inventory holding cost to compensate for the higher inventory holding period as and when the call-off happens. We received our first claim under the PLI scheme for an amount of 9.71 crores for FY22, and we will be submitting our claims for FY23 soon. This has been accounted under the revenue from operations as per the ICAI Expert Advisory Opinion Note for sales-based incentives. I hope all of you had the opportunity to go through our published results and the investor notes shared on the stock exchanges. Six SKUs in the ready-to-cook segment under our in-house brand GreenTok have been recently launched in Tetra Recart packaging during the World Food India Exhibition. We are exploring co-packing opportunities in the domestic and international markets. The Government of India, under the visionary leadership of Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi, and Shri Piyush Goyal, the Minister for Commerce and Industry, along with FICCI and Invest India, conducted an extraordinary event, World Food India, to showcase the offerings of food sector in India to the world. In pursuit of the ambitious goal to make India the manufacturing hub of the world, the Government of India invited global leaders of the food processing sector to seek suggestions and initiate steps to be taken. Team Foodgenance, being one of the recipients of the prestigious PLI scheme, was a special invitee to the event and participated in influencing public and regulatory policy in the food processing sector. We made representations in the roundtable conference with the government to foster ease of doing business. We launched our revolutionary Tetra Ricard offerings under our own brands. We showcased our brands to the world. We rubbed shoulders with the best in business and food processing sector and co-chaired thematic sessions on ready-to-eat category. We signed an MOU with the DPIIT to invest and nurture processing infrastructure in India. Last but not the least, our Pectin project joint venture Beyond Mango is slated to commence operations from the 22nd of November 2023. As I come to the end of my opening remark, I would like to thank each one of you for your unwavering support and your invaluable presence on this call. Now I request the moderator to open the forum for any questions or suggestions that all of you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ravi Agarwal from Agarwal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Ravi.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you for giving this opportunity. Sir, during Q3, FY23, you said that we can achieve 1700 crore to 1800 crore revenue with the CapEx, that is by June 23. So are we on the right path or our expectation to have such type of revenue?
Hi, Ravi. I think you have completely misunderstood what we had actually spoken about. So that was a specific question as to what could be the peak turnover that the company can actually achieve based on the CAPEX that is being done. And with respect to that guidance is what we had actually mentioned, that the peak revenue with the current CAPEX that we had put up would be around 1700-1800 crores. So that was the guidance that we had actually given based on a question from a specific investor. There was no committed timeline, there was no commitment saying that we would be at 1700 or 1800 crores.
Okay, that is the maximum peak level of revenue that can be generated from that type of CapEx, right?
From the CapEx that we have already put up, yes.
Okay, sir. My second question is, if you have planned that this SKU of RTE product in green top by October 23, so whether we reach up to it?
Sorry?
You plan six
we have already, all the six SKUs are already in production and almost out in the market.
Okay. I will be back in the queue for a later question.
Thank you, Ravi.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Chokhani from Trade Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for this opportunity. Just have one question on the volumes and the increase in debt and working capital and offtake, which you just mentioned that it will happen in the next 12-15 months. So was this a intentional strategy by the management? Because I believe the competitors probably in the last 2-3 months have done better in terms of the offtake. So is it like an intentional strategy that we are postponing the offtake so as to get better margins? And is that the reason why the inventories and the working capital and the debt has gone up? So that's number one.
Just to clarify on this point, basically the call-off is not in our hands. Basically it's the clients who have to call off. So the contract is always fixed. There is no improvement in gross margins that actually happen even if there is a delayed supply. So the call-off happens as and when the customer requires over the 15 to 16 month period. That's what the contract says. So there is no fixed schedule that we have, no monthly commitments, no quarterly commitments, but the contract period runs for 15 to 16 months and the call-off can happen at any point of time during that period.
Because just to add, definitely it's not our company strategy, and I won't be able to comment on competitors' sales, but we have, based on our contracted quantities, as Arun mentioned, the call-offs will happen, but there is nothing that we are holding back. We'd be more than happy to dispatch as and when required.
Also, Deepa, when you are actually talking about competitors, I would like to understand as to whom you are referring to. That's number one. And secondly, it can also be a strategy by the larger brands to call up from one particular company earlier and the other company later. So that's completely on the client's hand. So I would just like to understand this better from your end.
So exactly, that's what I was leading to. Is that the reason, like the clients have kind of as a strategy taken more offtake from your competitors like Exotic and Jain Irrigation, and then postponed from us so as to balance out their procurements over the next 12-15 months. So that was exactly I was leading to.
I'm not sure whether this is actually the case, as in I don't know whether Exotic actually publishes numbers because they are an unlisted company. So I'm surprised as to how you've actually got this data. So even with respect to Jain, as in we are on equal front with respect to what we do with most of our clients as well. So I don't think that should be a problem with respect to the optic, but generally it is evenly spread across all the sourcing agents as such.
Okay. The second question is regarding the pending money, which is from the warrants, because given the huge working capital and the debt, and largely in the September, the numbers have really shot up. When do you expect to call the balance amount of money? I know it's 18 months as per the law, but when do you expect that to come?
Yeah, so 18 months surely before June. Nonetheless, we'll discuss with the investor. There is a investor who's already subscribed to part of his holdings is fully paid up. I'm in discussion with others, which is there. As far as the company is concerned, they have no right to call for the amount. Having said that, of course, can be discussed and can be requested upon to kind of pay up, and I'm sure they would understand. So that exercise would definitely be in the offing.
Okay, thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rushil Salarka from Pioneer Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Rushil.
Hi, sir. How are you?
All well. How have you been?
Good, sir.
Excellent.
Sir, my question is that just wanted to know that why, like, there is an increase in the debt. Is it due to, like, you know, there was an increase in the inventory. So do we expect that in the next half, there will be the debt level will go down?
So basically, because of the debt, because of the working capital that has actually been infused in the business to build up inventory, the debt has gone up. So as the inventory liquidates, the working capital has to go down. It's as simple as that.
Okay, so do we expect that in the second half, like, to go down from the September as it has really shot up?
It will always go down. As in, that's been the trend, right? Unless I actually give advances in the month of March to increase production for the next year, then that's a different case. But otherwise, it has to come down with the inventory levels going down.
Okay, sir. And sir, just wanted to, I don't know if I have missed it or not, I just wanted to know that since we have, I guess we were supposed to receive 10 crores for the PLI, right? So have we accounted it in our books? And
yes,
if it,
this quarter we have accounted it. Basically, the money came in on 13th of July or 9th of July in this particular quarter. So it's been accounted in this particular quarter under revenue from operations as per the ICAI guidance note on how revenue from operations needs to be recorded as such.
Okay. And so one just last question, since we have been seeing that, you know, our competitor has been also being now in the market and isn't seen as a serious player. So do you think that it might affect our volumes in the coming years, or like, since, you know, earlier, like, we had an advantage, you know, since different competitors were facing their own problems, but now one or two have come back again. And so do we see that anything impacting us, or like, just wanted to know your thoughts on that.
So our largest clients have actually spoken to us about 3-year contracts, and each and every year there is a growth on the number which they have contracted, whether it was the last year, the current year, the next year, and the year after that. So, I mean, there is a clear visibility for us with respect to what they want from us in the next 3 years, and we aren't worried about that at all. Irrespective of whether competition is able to garner back, come back, not come back, we know what we will be able to supply.
And sir, are we like retaining a guidance still of 15% volume growth for the year?
The volume growth still looks like that, as in we are confident that there should be a lot of push through that comes through in Q4 quarter this particular year. So we still would maintain the guidance.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shalini Gupta from East India Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening to everyone on the call. Sir, I had a couple of questions. One is about pledge.
Just be slightly louder. It's very low. Your voice is too low.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, it's much better.
Okay. So, sir, my first question was about pledge shares. So, about 6.5% of the shares are currently pledged. So, if you could just say why the shares were pledged and what's your plan? I mean, do you intend to return the money or what's the plan?
Yeah, so I think when you had come to our office earlier also, you had the same question and it was answered. The percentage does look to be high right now. There has been no increase in pledge since the last 4 or 5 years. In fact, there has been a reduction. The percentage seems to be high, though the absolute number has not changed. As I mentioned, it's decreased because now my ex-promoter, who's in the process of depromoterizing, they started selling the shares, and in which case the percentage is looking high. But yes, soon they would be, all of it would be depledged, so that should not be a problem.
Okay. And so second question.
None of the promoters have borrowed or pledged money. This is a promoter group that is there just to put it up. So, there's a bit of a distinction between the two kind of nomenclature.
So, like, could you explain this promoter and promoter group meaning?
Promoter is Bilal Dalal. There are other companies in the group. There are the other family members in the group who would be holding shares. They are called promoter group.
And so you're saying that as one of the promoter becomes a promoter.
No. What I am saying is, the promoter has not pledged any shares. Promoter group has pledged shares. There were two promoters, Milan Dalal and Pallavi Dupedia. Pallavi Dupedia is in the process of her final, all the paperwork has been done, and it's a matter of formality when the authorities give it. But neither of the two promoters have done any pledge of shares.
So, and how will this money be repaid, whatever the promoter group has
pledged? It has nothing to do with the company or neither individual promoters. It is the promoter group who would have borrowed for their own thing. So, it is for them to set it right, but we are conscious of it and they would set it right. It does not affect the working of the company, neither does the company have to pay any money or receive any money.
Okay. And so second question is, like, if you could please give the sales breakup. I mean, 38% of sales is exports. So if you could just give the breakup of sales.
And then you want the export sales customer-wise breakup? Is what you're talking about?
No, sir. What I'm saying is 38% is exports. 50% of the sales are with Coke and Pepsi. That's 88%. And around 8% is other than mango pulp. The remaining 4% is other businesses like spray drying, frozen food. Is that correct?
Yeah, ballpark, you're right. So that's the trend that actually happens, but it depends from quarter to quarter based on which product we are trying to sell in that quarter. It depends upon the call-off that actually happens.
But in your presentation, you've mentioned companies like Epigamia and Paperboat. How much mango pulp are you selling to them?
So we wouldn't want to give you data as to how much we are actually selling to each and every client. I think we have already spoken about our top 10 clients and who our largest client is. So we would like to restrict our conversation there so that it does not give any information to our competition as such.
Okay. And sir, exports are 38% of sales. So what's the export composition like? How much spray drying are you getting? How much? If you could just give the composition of export sales.
So we don't want to give that breakup is the whole idea, basically, because it's all competitive information with respect to, which clients that we are selling to and which products that we are selling them to. So.
No, just the product. I don't want the client.
Okay, maybe we can just take this call, this question offline, and then probably I can give you whatever details that you want.
Sure. And sir, one request, if you could share the capacities in metric ton per year, if you could give it to Suyash, I'll take it from him.
So what you need to understand is that the manufacturers themselves don't put up capacities in metric tons per annum, basically because these are seasonal industries, right? So the capacities can be different for each and every player based on what raw materials they can actually source. So my capacities, if it is run 365 days of year, 24 hours, then I'll be the happiest person because I'll be able to sweat my assets the best. But then as things stand, we are not able to do that, and it's the case with any other player in the industry. And the way we can actually give you capacities only is on based on metric tons per hour.
Okay, then if you could, because you know it's very difficult for us to kind of visualize the capacities, if you could just give a metric ton per month, will that be possible?
So then we can't give you metric tons per annum. How is it that we can actually give you metric tons per month? So just to come back to this question, I'm just wanting to clear one concept of yours, is that we are not only relying on internal capacities, but we are also having satellite capacities which we take care of production during the season time, and we follow all the SOPs to get our materials ready. So only knowing about my internal capacities will not anyway help you.
Can I just please take this offline with you, because in a report I would need to put some capacity figure which everybody relates to. So I'll take this offline. And the fourth question is that, are you expecting a shortage of mangoes going forward?
Not at all. It's different varieties of mangoes which are also coming in, and we are not even 15 to 20% sourcing of the total Indian market as such. So I think we have a large room to grow.
Okay. And sir, you've recently invested in spray drying frozen foods. So are you doing it because you're getting a PLI benefit, or what is the reason for? Because you're doing so well in pulping that one always wonders, why is it that you need to diversify?
Madam, our company's existence is for 50 years. The first business of the company was spray drying. So from spray drying, we went into pumping in mid-80s and late-80s. So so we always were in that business. It's only that we have a large requirements that are there, and to fulfill those requirements, we have to add up the facilities.
Also, just for your information, spray drying is a highly profitable business for us. It has higher margins than our mango pulping business as such, and higher ROC. Now you answer whether we should do that or not.
No, I think that you should stick to pulping. If you're asking me, my opinion would be that you should stick to pulping because you've got size, and you've been able to break into some good clients. So, if you're asking me, I would say stick to pulping, but it's your call, really.
No, we are actually interested in spray drying and we'll be continuing in that. Thank you.
Okay. And sir, what is the tax rate of the company?
It's the normal tax rate which is there. It's not at 25% yet because we have MAT benefits which are there as such. So we have still not adopted the new regime.
So when in our projections, we should take around 25% tax rate?
29.5% approximately.
29.5%. And sir, when did you start your relationship with Pepsi and Coke?
Around 15-20 years ago approximately.
15-20 years ago. And sir, just few last questions. If you can just give some printed figure as to the growth of the mango pulp market, pulp and mango pulp market, that will be very useful. Some printed figure, or if you can just give some figure of growth or for the industry, for how Foods and Inns has grown that we have seen, but some kind of growth for the industry to show that you are doing the industry, something along those lines.
So I can give you data which is published of our growth numbers in the last 3-4 years. And obviously with respect to the others, I think we have some data which is there, but it is not published data. So I'm happy to give you that number, but I don't know how you're going to be corroborating with that.
Yeah, I would like that very much. And sir, my last question is that is the CAPEX over for now for financial year 24?
So we have just signed an agreement with DPIIT wherein we have promised that we will be nurturing the food processing sector, and in line with that we have actually committed around 20 to 25 odd crores for a tomato processing line. So we see a lot of promise in the tomato processing sector, and we have committed for the same.
But that's it. No more CAPEX.
So for now, this is what is in our mind. So CAPEX will happen as and when we see opportunities.
Okay, but right now nothing is planned.
This is what is in our plan as of now.
Yes, sir. That's it at my end. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Soni, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good evening, everyone. So I just joined a little late. I missed out on your opening remarks. So just please excuse me for some of my questions. So my first one would be just on the, volume growth during the quarter. So obviously, previous quarter was also, fell, and same thing happened this quarter as well. So just wanted to know, what is the, for the next at least, two quarters, how are we, looking at to, close the financial year 24?
Okay. Hi, Amar. So, I just explained this in my opening remarks, as you just mentioned that you missed out on that. So, what happens is that at the beginning of the inventory season, we have tentative contracts which are actually signed with respect to volumes that the clients will take up over a 15-month period. There is no fixed commitment saying that which month of the year or which quarter of the year these guys will actually take up the quantities that they have committed. It can be any time during the 15-16 month window. So generally our history has been that these guys have never defaulted on whatever quantities they have actually committed. And the call-off can be anybody's guess as such, as per what the brand's sales are in the given market as such. So the quarter has definitely been tepid, but having said that, since there is a commitment, we are given to understand that the commitment will be fulfilled by the end of 15 months as such, and Q4 and Q1 should be really good is what we think.
Okay, so would you be able to share with me the number for, let's say, the next 15 months in terms of volume, what we have in contract with the clients?
So we have already processed 40% more than what we actually did in the last inventory season. So whatever we process is as per our contracts that are there. So that should be a guidance enough for you.
Okay, so basically I believe in FY23 we did volumes of about 1,03,000 odd tons. So it would be, I can assume 1,40,000 would be for the next 15 months is the number.
I have produced more, but the call-off can be over 15-month period. So I'm saying my call-off can be till July, August next year, right? So it can be, it is definitely going to be in Q4 is something that I am convinced of. Q1 will also take up that volume. So FY24, not 40% additional volume. What we have guided for is basically around 15%.
So that's exactly what I wanted to, you know, okay, all right, no issues. Second question would be on the PLI scheme. So one of the, you mentioned that you have recognized this as a revenue and not other income. So I missed out on that part. Can you please?
Right. So it has been recognized as revenue from operations because there has been some guidance which has actually been given by the Institute of Chartered Accountants in India, wherein there has been an expert advisory opinion, which specifically says that any trade-based incentives or sales-based incentives which actually come through to a company need to be accounted under revenue from operations and not under other income. So we have just followed that.
Okay, because, you know, I have been looking at, you know, other companies as well, and most of them, whether it is, a, you know, either a PLI scheme or any other kind of incentive, everyone does it through other income only. So
last year, for the RoadTep incentives, the MEIS incentives, and the other trade-based incentives that we used to recognize, we also used to do that under other income. But it's only in Q1 of this particular year that the Expert Advisory Council of the Institute of Chartered Accountants has actually recommended this sort of recognition. So we have changed to that as soon as possible.
Okay, and that number would be, I believe, around 10 odd crores, right?
9.71 crores to be precise.
Okay, all right. And just one last question on your press release. You mentioned about, you know, Greentop sales being, you know, doubling since you began. So what would be that number?
So we are doing around 15 lakhs a month approximately.
15 lakhs a month. This is basically right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, all right. No issues, sir. Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Okay, okay. No.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Akhilesh Kumar from AdPro Technologies. Please go ahead.
Hi. I would like to know about your seasonality in the current quarter. Usually every December quarter you have a lean period. How is it going this time? Are you, we have enough diversification with CapEx? We can expect a little better this December quarter?
I mean, initially, at the end of September, there was some pace which actually picked up with respect to the call-offs which we saw. But as we speak, it's been slightly tepid basically because a lot of these manufacturers, what they do is that they give their, put their plant under maintenance during this particular season. So the call-off has slightly been reduced again as we speak, but again, starting December, we expect the call-offs to start off soon.
Okay, that sounds good. And one last question I have is, like earlier you talked about that how the one of the promoter, Mrs. Pallavi, if I am correct, she is trying to offload entire holding. Is there any progress on that, like the plan, like they are can be selling it to any strategic investor or in a bulk, or they will continue to sell in the market?
This is Milan Dalal here. The company and or we individually as and or as a promoter have no right and or no control over someone else's actions. What we have seen historically is that they have sold it in the open market. They're down from 19% to a little over 6%, and that they have opted for de-promoterization, and that process is are going on, and it's with the respective authorities and to reach its finality.
Okay, good to know. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi Agarwal from Agarwal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Hi.
Sir, energy drink market is increasing in India, so how can we become a part of its value chain? Can you give some, can you throw some light on it?
Energy drink and fruit juices are definitely two different segments. What we have to be more concerned and happy about is the climatic condition, the more the heat, more the consumption. Having said that, that which was the traditional way, but with a better infrastructure in India, the roads, the last mile, electricity, connectivity, and other FMCG push into the rural market, the Indian consumption story is in for a good time. We can't comment on the energy drinks not being into that segment.
Also, your question was also saying that how do we participate? The only way for us to participate is if and ever we actually take a call to become a bottler, and for any of these larger brands, without spending too much of money on branding, we can join hands with them. If at all we decide at some point of time, and maybe we might be able to have a pie.
Sir, CFO, from the last, I mean, cash flow from operation from the last 10 years is only 83 crore, while the profit after tax is 200 crore. So, can we expect that the condition will get improved in near term as we are diversifying ourselves, or whether the policy, payment policy is from MNC is very stringent, or we are able to recover easily from that?
Sorry, I didn't understand your question. Can you please repeat it?
Sir. Profit after tax for the last 10 years is only 207 crore and cash flow from operation is only 83 crore. So why we are lagging behind in collecting the money from MNC or from the domestic market?
So it is not necessarily that we are lagging behind. It's just that we have actually grown our operation. So if you see our scale, which has actually grown from 300 odd crores to 1000 odd crores. So we have redeployed whatever money that we have into building inventory. So unless I have an inventory, I'll not be able to sell. So that's what has actually happened in the business.
But sir, if we are not collecting money from them, then how it can be possible for us to deploy?
What you are interpreting is wrong, right? So basically my working capital, why is my cash flow negative? It's because I've built up working capital. I've actually increased my sales. So without redeploying that money back into my business, how can I grow my sales?
Okay. Sorry, this may be Molay Shah. I just have to highlight, you are telling that we are not collecting the money. If you see the balance sheet, you will see the age of debtors is 30 to 32 days. The reason is that always you will see a higher debtors at the year end, because in the month of March, our sale for last 2 years is highest among the every month among that particular year. So if you consider that monthly sales, then debtors age is 30 to 32 days. So it is not that we are not collecting. We are well within the contracted period. All the companies who are dealing with us are well-reputed MNCs, so we do not see any bad debt anywhere. So we are quite happy with the data. There is no concern at all.
Okay, sir. And sir, one more question. This Tactin project that we are operated from 22 of November, right?
Yes, 22nd of November.
And we are getting the fresh supply of mango peels from the next March or April. So we are working, we should be able to give, we should be able to generate revenue from the next March or April only now?
No, we have already converted the existing peels that we generated this season into powder form, and we'll be using that to actually generate pectin.
Okay, that's very great, sir. Very. Thank you for answering. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shanid, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Shanid.
Yeah, actually, I joined very late. I could not hear about the much details. So just wanted to understand about the previous quarter growth. Actually, one of our comparable peer, Jain, actually did very well. They have grown at 50% growth in YOY. So actually what happened to our, because most of our clients are also saying, so what happened to Foodsin, why we could not able to achieve the growth figure?
Shanit, so if you actually go back in history and see as to what happened to Jain Irrigation the last year, they were not even doing business. So because of that, they have a lower base. for which you are actually saying the 50% growth. That can always happen, right? If you're not doing business and if I suddenly start doing business, there has to be higher growth.
Correct, correct.
But you have to see the absolute tonnage that we sell.
Okay, okay, fine, fine, sir. Got it. Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Rohit Ori from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A couple of questions. First one being, in your opening remarks, you said that you participated in the trade fair where you had seen some opportunities and for certain segments and products. Can you take us through whether were you pitching only Tetra Ricard or were you pitching spray dried as well as frozen products?
So we talked about two trade fairs. One was the Anuga International Fair, which has been traditionally for the pulping industry, but we showcased Tetra Ricard, we showcased Pectin, and it was a great surprise to the international market that Pectin can be produced out of mango waste. And so we did, apart from our traditional businesses, we did get enough inquiries in our multiple other products. As far as the World Food India exhibition was concerned, being a domestic fair, though there was international participation, as far as the pulping is concerned, other than tomato, the mangoes and the likes are already before the season time, it is already kind of discussed, contracted, agreed. So there wasn't much of business to be done in that segment. But yes, again, repeat for the Tetra, the spices, the spray-dried powders, and as I mentioned, Pectin as well. So we see an overall kind of interest in our multiple products.
So from these, quite early to say or ask, but these inquiries, do you think that some of these cold calls will get converted into hot calls?
So it also depends on what kind of, there are certain industry leaders who are discussing, it's a very serious call, but when you do new products, there is always a level of R&D. And there is also a lead time of doing things. So, yes, slightly premature, but won't say, having said that, there are always cold calls. People, you would have students and housewives and all also visit exhibitions. So, but our team were able to identify what were the serious businesses, and we should be able to convert a lot of those opportunities.
Rohit, just to give you the kind of interest that we actually saw, there is a very large brand in India whose CEO was at our stall trying to experiment all these spices. They gave a great review. They came back to our stall 7 times just to actually bring a chef back and try out the newer stuff that we had actually on to offer. So, I mean, that was just to give you a small idea of the kind of interest that our products have actually having. We actually had one of a larger stall that we actually put up at the World Food India, and it was placed right at a position wherein we had neighbors like, Haldiram, the ITC, Ramos, and the others right besides us as such. So that also attracted a lot of clients to our stall, and we could actually display a lot of our spray-dried powders and the Tetra Ricard products, which I thought were the best received.
That's great to hear, Anand. For Tetra Ricard, we were looking at some opportunities for co-packing, probably in the domestic and the international markets.
Right.
So have you been able to crack something over there or get some clients on board or something like that?
So we don't have clients on board as we speak, but we are in advanced stages of negotiations with a couple of them. But having said that, as things stand today, we have not signed on the dotted line. But there are two schools of thoughts that we actually have. With the kind of interest that we have actually seen with the market reviewing our products, we do want to do our own brands under this because it's a completely differentiated offering. I mean, you might understand this better once you actually consume the product and see the product, but until then you might not understand as to why I'm saying this is differentiated. So we are thinking that we might create our own brands, but we are also wanting to have the capacity fully utilized so that we can actually properly recur our overheads as such. So, we are not 100% sure whether we want to do that, but that's also in our line of thoughts.
And there was some exclusivity that we had for around 1.5-2 years or so. So does that still exist?
Yes,
very much exists. And in fact, Tetra is very, very supportive and there are a lot of joint efforts going on and they are quite bullish. We are bullish and that exclusivity still continues.
And the expiry date for the same would be, if you can share that?
The shelf life of the...
Contract exclusivity?
It's not, it's a gentleman's work, but there are two big companies doing it. What we had discussed was, 2.5 to 3 years of full production. So we probably think we still have 2.5-3 years at least to review.
Rural, also what we would like to highlight is that we also have the first right of refusal, right?
Yes.
So in case Tetra Ricard is wanting to put up another plant, we have the right to say whether we want it or no. So only once we give the refusal is that somebody else can actually put this up. But we are extremely confident on this particular technology and we see a great future for us in this.
And our next question is, would you like to put up another plant of this kind?
So once I'm utilized with this capacity, we'll talk about it at that point of time. But honestly speaking, we have made the infrastructure ready in such a manner that I don't need to invest in CapEx apart from the machinery for the next 5 lines.
Mm-hmm. So if the demand comes for getting more money, do you think that common shareholders like us, long-term shareholders, would be given an opportunity with the rights issue?
It's too early for us to talk about rights issue, basically, because we haven't even had our warrant money coming in fully now. So maybe once that's done, we'll take a call at that point of time. As of now, we are well-funded.
Okay. My last question is related to Kusum Spices. If you can share the current capacity and the current capacity utilization.
So it's around 50 to 60% capacity utilization. I don't have the exact numbers with respect to the capacity. Maybe I'll just come back during the course of this call.
Okay. So do you think that Kusum Spices probably could peak out at around 50 odd crores or something? So do you think that you'll be adding more capacity for the spices business?
Correct. So with the current capacity, we can actually produce up to 50-60 crores of revenue. That is true what you're saying. But options with respect to outsourcing and maybe putting our capacities at some point of time do remain. But having said that, we have no plans as of now unless we actually reach that particular capacity. And it's going to be an easy plug and play for us basically because, again, like in Tetra Ricard, the facility that we have actually put up for Kusum in our Gundi facility is wherein the infrastructure, the civil infrastructure need not be built up again. It's only the machinery that needs to be added. So it can be very quick.
Okay. Okay, Anand, thank you for answering my question. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Darshit Chandra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have only one question. Can our company reduce the offtake window of our product from 15 months to 12 months going forward? So it will be very helpful for the company. It will reduce the working capital cycle also and everything will be helpful.
Darshan, we in the management side are of the same view that this should happen, but if all wishes can happen, then we would be really happy as a company. But unfortunately, this is how the industry is. We are trying to change and with more number of brands which is actually coming in the domestic markets like Reliance, Adani, Tata, we are hoping that this whole thing changes with respect to more power to the pulpers than to the brands as well. But having said that, as things stand today, the power is in their hands.
Okay, but in from the next year onward, 24-25, you might be pushing for the from 15 months to 14 or 13 or 12 months. It will be very helpful.
See, what you have to just realize in this particular segment that mango is a summer fruit and the maximum offtake is in summer. Now, you cannot produce and immediately make it available for that season. So that is the reason why it becomes 15 months. It's April, May, June is the season of production, and April, May, June is the ultimate product sale, which is probably the highest. Which, so, you know, it's a bit of the way the nature of this particular commodity is, which is mango. It's difficult, but nonetheless, yes, we definitely would love to, you know, have all the call-offs in 12 months, if not 13, if not 14, or whatever. So, but we have to be prepared for a 15-month kind of a period.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amish Kanani from JM Financial Services, PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. Sir, a couple of questions. One, sir, I think previous participant also asking on a similar line, but if you can explain us the inventory cycle of our business, because we understand that, you know, our fixed asset is hardly 200 crores and where, you know, we are turning the business five times, very good asset turn. If you can explain us the inventory cycle, which is what, you know, is, I think, a little bit higher, so to appreciate the business better.
So typically our inventory holding period, if you see during the March end quarter, is around 6 months, that's around 180 days. So it's the typical nature of the business, as our MD just explained, that mango is available only during 3 months of a year. And the contracts that these larger clients that give us, which is typically on a cost-plus basis, wherein I don't have to worry about the raw material prices going up or down because it's a fixed price contract that we actually have. And it is, it's just that it's slightly elongated with respect to the holding period. But having said that, again, the larger clients also give us an element of interest on the holding period as such. So it negates the holding cost.
Okay. And just to understand, do we keep the inventory of the raw mango or the pulp that we converted from mango, which is what we keep for a longer season, just to understand?
No. Raw mango cannot be. It's a perishable commodity and it's a cycle anywhere from 2 days to 7 days maximum. So you have to process it, and if the processed mango in its ultimate form of dispatch, that's how we store it. Apart from, we may do some frozen, it would remain in the freezer. Or if we have done it in Tetra, it would remain in Tetra, but 95% plus would be in already 100% process, but 95% would be in A type of packaging and others would be in other type of packaging.
Sure, sir. And so second question, coming to the EBITDA margin, we saw the press release where, you know, our EBITDA margin on a half yearly basis has improved from say 10% to 12.7%. And our Q2 margins have improved from from say last year's Q2 12.5% to say closer to 14%. But in the first half, first quarter, it was around 11.5%. So I wanted to understand what should be the steady state margin that we should understand in this business, and or seasonality with respect to quarters, sir.
So coming back to EBITDA margins, if you have attended our previous calls, we have never guided with respect to EBITDA margins, because as we told you, this is a cost plus model that we actually adopt with most of our clients. So whatever is my cost, I'm able to pass that on at the gross margin level. As I grow scale, there is a lot of operating leverage that comes into my business, which actually hits the EBITDA margin and helps it grow. So the higher the volume, the higher the EBITDA margins is what we would actually say. So if you have seen half year of this year as compared to the half year of previous year, our volumes have been down, because of which maybe you might be seeing slightly muted EBITDA margins. But once the volume call-off actually happens, at that point of time you would see actually higher EBITDA margins going through. But we wouldn't want to guide you on any EBITDA margins in this business. What we are confident on is basically improving on a gross margin level on every product that we sell to the larger corporates.
Okay. Sure, sure. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Amish Kanani from JM Financial Services PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so I said the third question that, you know, which I wanted to understand was this tomato puree business that you referred to. If you can give us some, you know, throw some light there in terms of what kind of investments and, you know, asset turn that we can, when is it starting, if at all you can throw some light there. Thanks.
So as of now, we have just placed an order for the machinery. And we are actually expecting it to be on stream by April. And maybe, MS, you can actually take this question. Hello?
It will be, already we have finalized the equipment and expected to do the commercial run by end February. This season will miss, but maybe a month or 45 days we may get if crop extended. For current year, the total project cost is in the range of 25 to 30 crore, and we are expecting in a peak time 3 times the revenue from this project.
Okay, okay, sir. And we can assume the similar gross margin at least as a blended thing.
We generally work on the part ton or part kg basis. That's the industry norms. So it will be difficult because raw material price may change. So it will be difficult to guide you on percentage basis.
Okay. Okay. Thanks for talking.
Thank you. We have no further questions. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anand Krishnan for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Darwin. I want to take a moment to express my heartfelt gratitude to all the investors for their unwavering support to our organization. I hope we have been able to answer most of your questions satisfactorily. Should you need any further clarifications or would you like to know more about the company, please feel free to write to us. Thank you once again. Good day. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Food and Inns Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.